Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Barrel-Law.com. We are welcoming back one of our favorite guests. And for those who have listened to this show for many, many years, you know that Jim Reedy is an attorney with the law firm Sheehan Finney in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's the chair of the firm's labor and employment practice group. He's also just an all-around great guy and foodie like me, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
No question about it. And so, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
No, it's great. And we've got a topic today that seems extremely relevant for, you know, the, if you want to call it the market today, because that seems appropriate. We're going to talk about Tom Brady and a cautionary tale for employers, lessons on how to reduce the risk of age discrimination claims. Are you saying Tom's old?
Not at all, because I'm older than Tom is, and he's got a better arm than I do. But for purposes of context, as we all know, he's got the most publicized age around. People know he's 42, and this spring he's going to turn 43. And very few quarterbacks in history have reached that age, and certainly few have reached that age and actually done well in their profession. And he's still considered to be the greatest of all time. And the question is whether he's going to retire or play for a few more years. And, you know, even if he stays with the Patriots, which, of course, everyone is nervous about, if he's going to move on, there's no question that the Patriots have to start looking for a younger replacement to succeed him sooner or later. And the reason why we're talking about this is that there's a corollary between that and what employers face every day across the country. Employers having similar discussions as they look at succession issues within their own organizations.
Well, you know, it's very true. You know, it's interesting. I talk to employers every day, as I know you do, and there is this conundrum sometimes where someone's been in a role, for example, in an organization for 25, 30, 35, 40 years. Maybe they're heading towards retirement. Maybe they're an expert in their field. And that individual, you know, it has a status, right? A feeling of like, I'm valuable here. And maybe they don't want to give up that value. Maybe they want to share that information. Maybe they feel like they need to hold on to that information. Even though the organization may be saying to themselves, oh my God, we've got this risk. We've got this risk to the fact that somebody is getting up there, albeit not 42, right, to have to think about succession. So, you know, how do you look at that and say to yourself, okay, that's a conundrum to the organization?
No question. And I think that, you know, a couple of things to mention. I mean, in the context of the Patriots, of course, you know, if he's unceremoniously pushed aside by the Patriots for a younger player or traded, not only are you going to have a disgruntled fan base and unfavorable tweets from a certain supermodel, but, you know, there's the potential for, you know, the pushback. And that the same is true with regard to employers who dismiss older workers if they dismiss them for the wrong reason. And I think you've identified two right there, which is they've been here a long time, and so therefore maybe they're a little stale in their practices or not, their mental acuity is not there, or maybe they're just really expensive. And I can get a younger person for less money. So those are the danger points for age discrimination.
Well, you know, let's break it down a little bit, Jim. Let's talk about some of the law behind it, because obviously it's pretty easy to say that seems like common sense. And you know that you and I both say that common sense is uncommon. But having said that, there are really laws, not only federal and state, that are out there. Talk a little bit about what matters here.
So the federal law that we're talking about, which of course applies to all employers with 20 or more employees, is the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, which was adopted in 1967. And it was amended years later to deal with things like mass layoffs that would affect older workers. But that federal age law that basically prohibits discrimination in any aspect of employment, which includes hiring, firing, compensation, job assignments, promotions, layoffs, training, benefits, and other conditions of employment. And the thing to mention in that regard is that the threshold for someone to be considered to be old is 40. Now, perhaps that was old in 1967. In 2020, and I don't think many of us would think of that as being old. But, of course, in the NFL, they start to think of that as being long in the tooth. Now, there are state laws out there that deal with prohibit age discrimination, and they apply to a much smaller workplace, meaning on average in New England, 5 to 6 employees. If you have 5 to 6 employees, your workplace could be covered by those state age discrimination laws. So combine the two, it's the risk to an employer is if they allow age discrimination to go on, or if age is a factor or the factor in an employment decision, they could be facing some serious penalties.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask the obvious question, which is, so let's say an employer has only 4 employees. Are they protected at all if they're in age?
Not for purposes of the, generally speaking, for those state laws, because they're below the threshold, or certainly not federal law. But you might have another statute that might come up, like what if the older worker complained about working conditions or wages? Well, those laws would kick in lower, either the common law, or if you've got 1 or 2 employees, you have wage and whistleblower claims potentially. So the smaller employers cannot have unfettered discretion to make discriminatory practices against older workers either. They just don't have the statutory framework to worry about.
Well, you know, in this particular area where we're talking about Tom Brady and age discrimination, you know, Tom's over 40.
Yes, he is. And the question is whether or not he could be could he file an age discrimination lawsuit? First of all, he likely would. But there's a question that comes up as to whether or not employees in the NFL, just like any other professional sport, could file a claim. And surprisingly, there have been at least 2 NFL teams that have been sued for age discrimination. One of them is in the Super Bowl this weekend. And that was dealing with staff and not players. But, you know, the reality is, though, there are very few players over the age threshold of 40. So maybe that hasn't been the issue yet. I don't think Tom, in his millions and millions of dollars, would consider that. Instead, he would just, you know, dust off his cleats and go to another team.
You know, it's interesting, and I'll bring this question up because I thought of it as you mentioned that. And it's really the one that centers around, is there a difference for someone who is hired under an employment contract versus someone who's either full-time, part-time, or maybe a temp or intern? Is there a difference in the way that these statutes, either federal or state, maybe there's 2 different answers, affect that?
Generally, no. Whether you're full-time, part-time, seasonal, and the like, or if you have an employment contract for a specified term that talks about the terms and conditions of employment and potentially termination provisions, if the reason for the separation of that part-time or seasonal, full-time, or person with a contract is age or age-related, or their derogatory statements or a hostile environment because of age, that person could have an actionable claim. Again, if the person is covered by either state or federal age discrimination statutes.
Okay, well, that makes sense. And I guess, you know, when you're talking about this, you're kind of talking a little bit about, you know, maybe somebody could file harassment claim if they were, you know, if they, you know, what's the difference, if you would say, between the age discrimination that someone can file and an harassment claim, for example?
Well, you know, harassment used to only be considered to be in the exclusive province of sex harassment claims. But as we know, in recent years, courts have basically expanded the notion of a hostile work environment to race discrimination, disability discrimination, and age discrimination, as well as other protected classes. So examples of harassment would be things like offensive or derogatory statements about a person's age. And while the law doesn't prohibit simple teasing or offhand comments or isolated incidents, oftentimes these things are cobbled together. You know, we need young blood here. You're too old. You can't catch up. You know, what was Eisenhower like? and so on. And that's when it gets to the point, the tipping point under the concept of hostile environment, of so severe or pervasive that it has the effect of unreasonably interfering with my ability to perform my job. So you could have a situation, in addition to those other situations where the person's passed over, doesn't get a raise, doesn't get hired, doesn't get promoted, or is laid off, the first person picked off in a termination because of age or a perception of age issues.
Well, you know, obviously the counter side of this from an employer's perspective might be, well, yeah, they have lost a little bit of their step. Yeah, they have done or are not as productive as they used to be. Or maybe, hey, you know, there are some issues that are happening here. How do employers deal with the reality sometimes that do come with age?
Yeah, that's true. You know, and you think about it, Dave, the recruiting that you do recruiting in all corners of industries. And you think of manufacturing. Manufacturing in New England, the average age of someone in manufacturing is 57. So you've got people that have been around a long time working in an organization, which, of course, there's value in that. But also, perhaps their physical and mental acuity is not the same. The speed and production is not the same. The vitality is not the same. But the question is, do they offer more to the organization or just as much with regard to their institutional knowledge, their maturity, their work ethic, and so on? So there's always that balancing.
Well, you know, it's interesting where, of course, we're now struggling to find talent all across the board. I do know that people are looking at retired or semi-retired workers to determine that knowledge base that come back. But that does come with sometimes some challenges. How can an employer look at those challenges or look at ways to make sure that they hire somebody and are upfront about, hey, this is the role and maybe we're going to accommodate here or there? How does an employer go about doing that in this day and age?
I think structuring the role itself and having a candid discussion internally about the role and what's required, what's truly required, the essential functions, which we talk about all the time, and getting rid of sort of preconceived notions about age and ability, young or old, and focusing on the job. That being said, being clear with the person up front, these are the hours that are required, these are the days that are required, this is the physical activity that may be involved, or the speed of production. Do you understand coming into the job, this is what is expected? If you're upfront about that at the beginning, like any position, like any employment arrangement, then you're going to be in a pretty good situation. And I think the other thing is train supervisors and also have a good anti-discrimination policy. So training supervisors not to say things like we need young blood or greater vitality or, and all these ageist comments. And similarly, to the extent that coworkers are saying stuff like that, hey, old guy, and so on, or, you know, someone's birthday party, you know, bringing out the Grim Reaper when it's a certain advanced age. Things like that can create a hostile environment. So structuring the job, being clear about the expectations, and then finally training your staff and having good complaint procedures so that, you know, the employees know where to come forward to file a complaint and the company takes it seriously.
So, Jim, when somebody as an employer is looking at their employment policies, what are some things that they should be looking for to ensure that they are structurally set for these type of discussions?
I think that you take out on your application, take out the birth date. Do you really need to have a birth date in there unless you're talking about hiring someone who's under age 18 and you want to make sure you're not running afoul of youth employment laws? Talking to those who are doing your screening and recruiting, you know, experts like yourself don't need to be trained in that regard, but there are other people out there that might ask the wrong question, might say things, even with a, you know, it's a perfectly innocent question, but may trip the trigger of ageist comments or concerns. So the application, making certain there are things on there that shouldn't be on there anymore. The screeners, the questions they're going to ask, always focused on the essential functions of the job. The hiring practices are focused on, the essential functions. And if there's a physical exam, whether that's tied to the job requirements itself and not unduly burdensome. And then finally, just basically making certain that when someone's employed there, that they're treated with respect and civility like any other employee.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner. In store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. We're talking today with Jim Reedy. He is the chair of the firm, Sheehan Finney, Labor and Employment Practice Group. Jim, you've been traveling a lot. Tell us a little about what you're doing.
Well, I've been traveling a bit, every place from, Ireland I travel all over New England all the time. And I was just down in Miami, which I will tell you, I never thought I'd be a snowbird. But once you go down there for a couple of days and then come back to cold, gray New England, boy, I can understand why people do go south. But I did avoid the Super Bowl crowd. I got out of town just before they were there. And I've got more travel ahead in the coming months all over the U.S., but I'm also going to London and to Paris. So lots going on. But in the meantime, busy practice, because even though we have a white-hot economy, as you know, David, there are still lots of claims and lots of compliance issues out there.
And thank God for those, right? All right, you don't have to answer that. That was a subtle commentary by your host. All right, so we move on. You know, we're talking about today, of course, Tom Brady and age discrimination. And who knew we were putting those two topics together on a show today? But I think it's very relevant in terms of what people are looking at today in the workforce. Because, as I said, there are older people working today more than there ever has been. And I think it's a really good way of having people think think about, you know, how am I at risk in terms of what I say and what I do? You know, so Tom Brady's current situation is an interesting one, right? He's really talented. He's on a contract. He's coming up for free agency. And you know what? You might look at free agency as, hey, the market's really good. I'm trying to make a good analogy here, right? The market's really good. I could be a free agent and go to as many companies as I want because there's plenty of jobs out there. What type of risk does that send to the employer in terms of retaining them and in terms of, you know, that fear of telling somebody their role that, hey, we hear more and more about in terms of, if you want to call harassment?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things. One is, you know, employees that have been around for a while but feel that they've been undervalued might test their version of the free agency market and going out maybe to talk to a competitor and with the hopes of getting a better wage. And with that, though, taking their institutional knowledge and the playbook, as Brady might. And, of course, employers want to protect the key employees from leaving. There's a whole school of thought dealing with executive mobility and trying to lock up your key employees. And you would think that that's what the Patriots would like to do, should do, and that's what the fan base certainly wants. But the question is it a sliding scale there? Because, again, he's 43 years old, and how soon before his skills truly drop off? But then there's also a cost in retaining someone. He's going to want a lot of money to stay. If you pay a lot of money to him, you're not going to necessarily be able to hire the talent around him, which is not necessarily the recipe for success. And some of the other things, I guess you mentioned, what do you do to protect them? Well, he had a certain player on the team who was, there was a hot mic around, and he was screaming at him, "You're too old, you're washed up." Now, in any other workplace, that would be a real problem if it was not corrected by the employer. Here, reportedly, that teammate was echoing the reports of TV commentators and radio personalities and other naysayers who said, you know, Brady was washed up. And every time they do that, he rises to the occasion. So, but in an other workplace, when you're saying things like that, you could have serious problems if they're not corrected.
So, you know, when you're thinking about the fact that he is mobile and the fact that he is able to go out, if we take that from an employer standpoint, there are non-disclosures, there are non-competes, there are non-solicitation agreements that organizations have to try to, as you say, protect their intellectual property and to try to hold and retain employees. Talk to us a little bit about how employers today and maybe how this is all relevant in terms of making those agreements, because they're much harder today than they ever used to be.
Yeah, the non-disclosure agreement is perhaps the easiest because that's protecting the goodwill of the company, meaning it's truly confidential, proprietary, and trade secrets. That you can lock up, and you can lock up almost indefinitely for as long as that information is not known or readily discoverable to the general public. Non-solicit, so the next thing, it could be enforceable, but they're narrowly construed. And a non-solicit basically says, for a period of time after you're employed here, you cannot solicit our clients and customers with whom you've dealt within a defined period of time, and our employees to go work for you or for a competitor, or for anyone else in that matter. Those are enforceable. Non-competes, more and more, are either disfavored by law or prohibited by law, Massachusetts being the most recent example where they're very narrowly construed, and California where you can't have it unless you have it's tied to the sale of a business. Now, with regard to Tom Brady, is a couple of years ago, they could have locked him up with a contract. Bill Belichick and the ownership decided not to, and he asked to be, Brady asked them, he played his card and said, "But I want to be a free agent." So now there, it's brinksmanship. It's coming up less than 2 months before a decision has to be made, where he's free to negotiate and go somewhere else. So you know, I think they missed their window. Unless in the next month and a half they give him effectively everything he wanted, to lock him up for another 2 years.
Well, you know, you talked about it, especially at the beginning, that intellectual property from a Brady perspective, can he go to another franchise and tell them all the play information? Is that part of what you would say in the contract?
That's something you cannot lock up because you can't do effectively a lobotomy of a player now. So you've seen assistant coaches leave the Patriots before, and with that, they understand the plays and the strategies. And similarly, players who have left the Patriots have gone to other teams and been successful because they can say, yeah, this is how they do it. Now, plays change all the time. Signals change all the time. But there's no question of this competitive advantage. Just like in any other workplace, someone who says, well, this is the way they do things, and it's not truly a trade secret, unless that's locked up somehow in an agreement, there are predatory hiring practices out there where employers will hire employees from their competitor for the sole purpose of getting information for a competitive advantage.
You know, technology today continues to be more and more a challenge, especially sometimes for people who have been in an organization for a long period of time. And that's no different, of course, in football or any other industry. Talk to us a little bit about how employers need to deal with the fact that maybe someone's been at an organization a period of time and technology has changed and they're just not getting it. How do they handle that age side problem where, hey, it's a struggle for the new machinery, the new technology platform, the new Salesforce.com that came along, and they're just not making it like they used to?
Well, I mean, you don't have to accommodate someone's slipping talent, and that's true with the Patriots and Brady. If he truly couldn't throw the ball anymore, if he couldn't move, if he couldn't react fast enough, well, that's the sport, and that's what it requires. Similarly, in industry, in other jobs, a person cannot keep up with the advances in technology. Even though you may have provided training and assistance and support, if they can't perform the job as required, it could be that the job has passed them by. Do employers have to then find another place for them? They don't have to, but many employers, because of the institutional knowledge and the morale factor of not wanting to kick someone to the curb, oftentimes will consider trying to keep that worker who might not be able to fit in one role, try to make it work in another. But that's not a legal issue. That's more of a company culture issue.
So you have this individual that not necessarily keeping up. It would seem obvious that it's possibly time to let them go. How do employers handle that the right way?
Well, I mean, document, right? I mean, what you want to do is stay away from unfounded perceptions about someone's ability and really focus on reality. Attendance issues, performance issues, conduct issues, productivity, profitability, things like that that are the tangible and discernible, as opposed to, I just don't think he can keep up, or I just don't think she's with it, or, you know, I don't know that in the future she'll be able to do what we need, and so on. So I think those are dangerous comments, or worse yet, you know, she's a client-facing person, and we can't have a person with gray hair or a guy with no hair. We need to have some vitality in our workplace, and we want a younger presence and so on. Bad idea. So if you focus on the most important things, can the person do the job regardless of age? And if they cannot, document. You do that regardless of the age to avoid situations where it must be because of my age or it must be because of my race or my disability or my sexual orientation and so on.
So it really comes down to potential damages. And what do the employers really risk if they are liable for an age discrimination claim?
Like any other discrimination claim, even though it's a bit different than Title VII, the Civil Rights Act, and others, there are damages available under federal and state age discrimination laws. And those are things like lost wages and benefits, which you would look from the point of termination to the point of judgment. That would be called back pay. Front pay from the point of judgment going forward until a person finds a adequate substitute job given their skills and experience, which could be out another year or two of wages and benefits, plus potentially other compensatory mental suffering damages or punitive damages if they're truly acting in bad faith, and potentially attorney's fees. In short, if there is a finding against an employer that they've violated either state or federal discrimination laws, age discrimination laws, it could be a very expensive verdict for them. Now, the other part of it is There could be a chilling effect upon the morale of other employees who are still there, young and old. So there's that intangible impact as well.
Well, especially today with recruitment. I mean, you get that information out online, that negativity and that, you know, that negative impression that customers, clients, and others have, it would be a big problem.
No doubt. Whether you're talking about Glassdoor, Indeed, or other sources, or just word of mouth. Oh, you don't want to go work there. I had a friend who worked there, and they just kicked him to the curb, you know, after they had got the best years of his life and so on. Yeah, talk about negative publicity.
There's no question. Has that happened in the NFL? I know you mentioned it. There's been some discussion about it, but do you have an example?
Yeah, it was the San Francisco 49ers were sued by two older workers who claimed that their jobs were eliminated as a pretext for the club's intent to hire younger, more hip employees. And that case is still ongoing. And then there was another case involving referees of the NFL who were let go. Referees, but there were also security guards. Nine former security guards sued the NFL for age discrimination, claiming that they were released it was because of their age and not because of job performance issues.
Has there been resolution on those yet, or are those still in the courts?
Ongoing.
She said, "Does and I bet those are how many years old? Quite a ways, I would bet."
No, only just in the last couple of years.
Well, we'll have some answers in the next few years, but I bet Tom will still be about 44 at that time, won't he?
And you know what? And probably throw a ball better than someone half his age.
Well, let's be honest about that. There's no question. There's no question about that. Well, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello. I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
The best paints for the job site are at the Home Depot, specifically new Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer. It starts at only $23.98 a gallon. It's specially formulated to spray easier and cover walls faster. A lot faster. So you're done and on to the next job faster. Better paint means better jobs. New Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. You'll only find it in one place. The Home Depot. More saving. More do it. U.S. only.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loaner Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, get 5.25 ounces of Lucas Complete Field Treatment for $4.99 each, or two for $8. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide, and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. We're talking with Jim Reedy. He is with Sheehan Finney, and he is talking about Tom Brady and age discrimination. You know, all the New England fans right now are listening to us going, don't you dare call him old.
That's right, and no one wants to believe it with regard to themselves or certainly with regard to Tom Terrific, but time mark is on.
There's no question.
I think most people are loyal to him and want to keep him with the team until he retires, but he's got his own clock, his own TB12 clock, and he said he wants to continue playing for as long as until such time that his skills have not diminished to the point where he can't be a useful competitor.
You know, it's interesting. I know we're talking a lot about Tom Brady, but what's your opinion on Bill Belichick? He's, what, 67, 68 years old?
Right, and he seems timeless as well. I mean, you think the two of them have been with the team for at least 20 years. And he's expressed no interest in retiring. And there's some thought about one more, you know, Bill effectively is the CEO of the organization and Tom is a top producer, wanting to perhaps go their separate ways to prove that they can be successful without each other, without the other, I should say. But you know, the organization is just as concerned about what happens and who the successor to Belichick is going to be. And again, most workplaces have that same discussion, or at least enter into that same calculus all the time.
Well, speaking about the world out there, TV commentators, sports talk radio, social media certainly is all abuzz with speculations about Brady's future, the Patriots, the league. All right, we're going to ask the big question from the big guy. What do you think?
Well, if I knew the answer, I'd be buying season tickets either here or somewhere else, or I'd be buying up jerseys, his jersey as the Patriots, as a collector's item. Of course, there was a tweet last night, this cryptic tweet by Brady that shows him, and it's unclear whether he's walking in or walking out of the stadium, which caused the Twitter sphere to explode with anxiety. You know, there's no question there will be a time when Tom will hang up his cleats and focus his attention on other business interests, his family, or getting fitted for his Hall of Fame jacket. And that may come sooner than later. But I think my view is, and I think most people agree, he's going to play for a couple more years. He wants to play till he's 45, and that's at least two more years. And my hope is he'll stay here, but if I were a betting man, I'd say he's going elsewhere.
Well, you know, you can bet on that now. Everybody seems to be able to bet on everything now. So it shouldn't be a problem. But we got to know what the over and under is, Jim. Just got to know what the over and under is. You know, as we talk about Tom and we talk about employers in terms of, you know, speculating on what's going on out there, we sometimes forget that football is a big business. It is, in some aspects, massive size business. And the NFL is a massive marketing business. When you're talking about big business and maybe versus small business, what are the risks to the size of the organization when it comes to these type of claims? Could there be collective claims from people within an organization? Or is this really more one-on-one talk?
That's a very good question. I, you know, typically age discrimination claims are individual claims where the person says, you treated me differently because of my age. But there is such a thing as a class or collective action where you have a community of interest. Workers over age 40 come together and say, we're treated differently in benefits or in profit sharing or in partnership or in job opportunities, overtime. You're letting us go sooner than later. You're paying us less, and so on. So it is entirely possible if you had something that was systemic that at a certain age, and that's why as a matter of law, except in certain professions, you cannot have a mandatory retirement age because that could be per se age discrimination.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the mandatory retirement age, and it's funny you mentioned that because that was one of the points that I had written down that I hadn't brought up yet. You just mentioned that certain things can have mandatory retirement age. I know, for example, air traffic control, right? That's an area where there are mandatory retirement ages. Is this something that employers should be aware of in terms of specific professions, or are they rare?
Are they rare? You know, certain judicial appointments are until age 70. Air traffic controllers, but also airline pilots. You might have others, you know, for purposes of someone having a commercial driver's license and so on. So there are some, but they are indeed rare that you can have a mandatory retirement age. That being said, employers can have informal discussions. And I often say avoid the R word. Retirement and talk about where do you see yourself? What are your career plans? Can we talk about training someone up in this area so we don't have a knowledge gap? We'd like to partner you with so and so and so on. But they have to be truly informal discussions. If you start to say, "So, Dave, when do you plan to retire?"
Today, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, that just came out. I apologize. That just came out, Jim. I'm sorry.
That's your wife speaking.
No. My wife is very clear. When I retire, she's going to work because she doesn't want to stay home if I'm going to be home. And I can understand that. It's okay.
Right. I think to a certain extent, maybe that's true in the Brady household as well. But I think that, you know, having informal discussions, having an informal sense, and I'll tell you, even in our law firm, after a certain age, 65 or so, you have a discussion with the management committee, and it really gets to not about compensation or partnership status. It gets to what are your plans so we can plan for succession. But it's never, we've never had a mandatory retirement age. So having those discussions, having some planning, so you're not caught cold by someone suddenly retiring or moving on, and you've got no backup for them. Again, like a Tom Brady, you want to have a sufficient support system so that the business, the organization, the team can continue.
Are there any rules or guidelines in regards to talking to somebody about that conversation, right? Because that is a tough conversation. Important, is it best to coach it around succession planning? Is that kind of the best rule of thumb?
Yeah, I think it's always, regardless of what we're talking about, focus on the job, focus on the job requirements, focus on the person's actual performance, not perceptions, guarding against real or informal forms of discrimination, and even for people that are kidding, making comments that are ageist, because, of course, people can be sensitive about that. You know, in Great Britain a few years ago, there was a movement to do away with all birthday parties in the office. Why? After certain benchmark ages, 40, 50, 60, and so on, of course, there were the black balloons, the tombstones, and the Grim Reaper. And they said that, you know, they didn't want to create that ageist environment. That hasn't made it to these shores, but people are certainly sensitive to that. So I think focusing on the job, focusing on the person's actual performance, and dealing with reality, not ill-sounded perceptions, is the way to go.
The last question before we go to the last break here is really about, can an organization test for skills? And if they do that, for example, if it's a critical skill or something having to do with cognitive thinking, can they test for skills? And if they say, we do this every 5 years, 3 years, and they do it to everybody, is that something that can be legally done?
Yes, it can be done. I mean, again, it should be tied to the job. Again, you're not going to have a physical exam and a physical agility test for someone who has a sedentary job. Similarly, you're not going to have a personality or cognitive test necessarily if the job doesn't necessarily require that, because that could be deemed to be a way to screen out older workers. So I think, can they test? Yes, but it should be tied to the job requirements.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today we're talking with Jim Reedy. He is the chair of Sheehan Finney's Labor and Employment Practice Group. We're talking today about Tom Brady and age discrimination. You know, it's interesting. Tom Brady will turn 43. By all accounts, that's not old. And while we seem to have, if you want to say it is old for professional sports, it's truly remarkable he's continuing to play at the level that he is, whether you like him or not. The real value, of course, is the same way an employee's longevity skills and knowledge and contributions to the organization should be considered over his or her chronological age. What's your take on all that?
Well, the first thing I want to say to that is amen. I think that's a great way of summing that up. And again, you're the professional in the field doing coaching and recruitment, and you deal with employers of all types and sizes, and you're out there and you know what the workforce is like. And I think salvaging any work relationship, young or old, and focusing on the investment, the potential, and focusing on the person's skills, knowledge, and contributions is absolutely the way to go, whether someone is 17 or 77. And, you know, if you look at the Brady situation, you know, in an era in which players through free agency jump from team to team, and employees in the in other workplaces are more nomadic than ever before. I mean, my dad was in the same job for 45 years. His dad before him was in the same job for 45 years. But you don't get that anymore. People move around a great deal. Investing in players, just like investing in your employees, focusing on culture and loyalty as a two-way street and valuing commitment could be the keys to a firm foundation for any organization, and perhaps leading to the next, like we saw with the Patriots, the next dynasty in your industry.
As we wrap up the show today, and of course we've been talking about Tom Brady and a cautionary tale for employers, lessons on how to reduce the risk of age discrimination claims. Jim, rattle off the five things that are takeaways from today's show.
Well, I think, you know, that the takeaways, I guess, would be, you know, critics are quick to point out things like, you know, Brady isn't mobile. He can't run as fast as other quarterbacks in the league. He throws. His throws don't have the same accuracy, velocity, range that they once had. he isn't worth spending tens of millions of dollars towards a team salary cap, as you know, his with his diminished skills, and that money could be spent on other younger players that perhaps could help the organization over the next couple of years. That's a cautionary tale, because you can apply that same calculus to other workplaces. The caution is simple, because Brady is still highly skilled in his position. He's not easily replaced. Again, transfer that to another workplace. Not easily replaced. That person has been with you for 20 or 30 years. And without him, the team, regardless of the coaching staff or other key players, will likely take a significant step backwards. And you look at the key employee at any organization, if he or she is to sort of kicked to the curb or reduced in position or encouraged to move on. In addition, you know, he's been the face of the franchise. You think of your customers and clients out there, your coworkers, who've come to identify a person or persons with your organization. And he's been the face of the franchise for this unprecedented dynasty for the last 20 years. That has value to the Patriots' season tickets and merchandising. And, you know, because, of course, before Brady, they were largely a loser franchise. But that applies to other industries as well, other organizations as well. Without that person, there could be a real drop-off in business or relationships. You know, casting Brady aside, because the ownership or the head coach don't want to pay him at his age, wouldn't be the basis necessarily for an age discrimination lawsuit unless, again, applying this to other industries, his age and inaccurate perceptions about his abilities, and not based in reality, were the sole reason for his separation. So, and again, likewise, casting aside older workers, skilled workers, because of their age and salary, and based upon some ill-founded perception that they can't keep up with technology trends or to present a more youthful image, could result in a very damaging age discrimination claim against that organization.
Jim, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Let's both hope, let's all of us hope, 12 stays in a Patriots uniform for at least a few more years. But the bottom line is, we know you're going to be back on the HR Power Hour later this year. We really appreciate you, as well as your firm, being a solid supporter of the show.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Go Patriots.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
I'm Liz Johnston from Verrill. When is the last time you reviewed your company's anti-harassment policies? What about the last time your employees and managers were trained on those policies? If it's been a while, this tip is for you. These days, news of a workplace incident can spread like wildfire, and so it's important to stay on top of cultivating policies and a culture that discourages harassing behavior among employees. Review your employee handbook to ensure that it contains policies prohibiting not only sexual harassment, but all types of harassment based on traits protected under federal, state, and local law. Once your policies are in place, a training session is a great way to remind your employees of the company's values, open door policy, prohibitions on harassment, and procedures for handling complaints. Separate training for supervisors and managers is also important so that members of your management understand what to do if they become aware of a complaint or incident. If you have any questions about anti-harassment policies or identifying, preventing, or handling a hostile work environment claim, please contact me or any member of Verrill's Employment and Labor Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.